The following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on September 20th, 2015.
It's so fun. And gummy bears to get them started. I'm going to ask you to pray with me as we move into the sermon. Gracious and loving God, you came to teach us a new way, and you did that by walking with us, by showing us, and by speaking to us, calling us to follow you with our hands and our feet and our lives and our hearts and what we say and do. So open your words to us. Help us hear what you are saying to us today, and help us hear in such a way that we're willing to put our hands and feet behind it. Speak, and we will follow. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Put you right there. So I have to admit, and some of you may have heard me say this before, that I am grateful time and time again for the disciples. I'm so grateful that Jesus called regular people who were not the best and the brightest, regular people who didn't have it all figured out, just kind of normal, everyday, ordinary people like me, like you, called those people to follow him. The disciples get it wrong so often. They go off on tangents. They don't understand. Jesus says, feed the people, and they go, with what? I don't have any money. I'm poor, and I'm following you. I'm not making any money at my job. How am I supposed to feed these people? I mean, again and again and again, right? It gives me comfort, because it means that when I do that, when I go off on a tangent, when I get distracted by the world, when I forget what it is to follow Christ, that there's forgiveness and grace, and that Jesus will bring me back and help me find the center again. So that's comforting for me. I hope it's comforting for you. This story in today's gospel reading is another example. Here is Jesus. What is he talking about? He's not talking about how beautiful the blue sky is he? He's not talking about how well cared for the roads are. He's not talking about how wonderful that last encounter was in the town they just left. What is he talking about? He's talking about hard things. He's talking about the fact that he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be killed. And I'm pretty sure by the time he gets to that last piece, that after 3 days he's going to rise, the disciples are gone. I mean, mentally, they're not listening anymore, because all of that other stuff is so big and so overwhelming that they can't hear the last part, and it doesn't compute anyway. I mean, be honest. That's what you hear. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be killed. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. It's all already more than they can take. So how do they respond to that? Here's this big, important thing that Jesus is talking to them about. He's taken them away from the crowds. He's taken them away so they can be by themselves with him. And how do they respond to this? This is part of why I love the disciples. They respond the way we respond. I mean, be honest. You hear something big and hard and important and confusing, and you're not entirely sure about it. Well, it's an awfully pretty day today. It's really gorgeous. The leaves, I mean, I think it might be a nice fall after all. It's human, right? Responding to something big and hard. by trying to redirect. Now, disciples are even more human than that. They hear that Jesus isn't going to be with them anymore, right? That at least filters through. So what do they start arguing about? Who's going to take his place? Okay, all right, so we got this much, that something bad's going to happen and we're going to be by ourselves. So the best thing to do now is to fight about who's best. Who's the best among us? I don't even know how they figure that out. I mean, they haven't really mastered this thing about following Jesus yet. They're still kind of tripping on their own feet along the way, but they know enough that they've got to figure out who's going to lead them after this really big, hard thing Jesus just said happens. They do have the grace to be embarrassed about it. They have the grace to know that Jesus probably isn't going to applaud them for this particular conversation. They have the grace to know that this actually isn't the response Jesus was hoping for as he's teaching them about what's going to happen now, this big, immense change. They knew that much. Well, let's just pause there. We, like the disciples, respond in these ways. We respond to big, hard, challenging, sometimes frightening news by wanting to argue about something else, something that we might have control over, like who's going to lead us next. We respond by trying to redirect the conversation to something we might actually be able to control. It is so true in churches. It is so true in the body of Christ. We talk about the fact that the culture has changed, that people don't just come to church anymore, that you can't wait for Presbyterians to move in next door and find you, because that doesn't happen so much. A lot of our churches have been blessed with immigrants from countries where they were raised Presbyterian, and they do come looking for us. Churches like Burlington welcome and begin to see new growth, a new possibility. But we still sit and wait for that to happen, right? We still sit and wait for people to come and find us and join us. That's a big, hard conversation. That's a challenging conversation. How do we, as the body of Christ in the 21st century, become a congregation that changes who we are? To use the language of what you're starting, that discovers, discerns the new beginning God is calling us to, so that we can be faithful. And that's not something you can control. That's not something that you can button down and get out the screws and the screwdrivers and the hammers and nails and put it together and say, here, I have created this new beginning. Ha! It doesn't work that way. It is this shifting, ongoing, learning thing that's about conversation and about being vulnerable and opening ourselves. And you're already thinking about who's going to lead you next. Or something else. You're already wanting to change the conversation to make it more manageable. Do you follow me? It's human. It's so completely human. The disciples did it. We're in good company. We do it too. Instead of focusing on where Jesus is walking and the path he's trying to lead us onto, we begin to bicker about things we might be able to control. So Jesus knows that. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus knows that, and he loves us anyway. He doesn't turn away from the disciples and say, I'm done with you. I got to find some other people that maybe will finally get what I'm talking about. He doesn't walk off into the hills shaking his head. Instead, he tries again to call them back to what's important. Not who the leader is, not who's the best, Not what color the carpet is, not how the sanctuary is lighted, not what kind of music you sing, but what is the center, the heart of following Christ. He says, look, I didn't come to lead you. I came to serve you. That's what you should be focusing on. You should be focusing on how are you going to care for each other? How are you going to care for everyone you come in contact with? And just to make it as easy as I possibly can, I'm going to give you that beautiful object lesson. I'm going to give you the tangible example Jesus says to the disciples and, of course, to us. I'm going to give you the tangible example. So maybe the next time you try to redirect the conversation or change where the focus is, you'll remember. And Jesus takes a little child and gathers the child in and says, whoever welcomes this one welcomes me. Is there anything special about that child? Is that the newest prodigy who's going to be on all the TV shows, who's going to light up the performing arts? Is this child the one who's going to crack the medical code and solve all the world's medical problems? Is this child that Jesus picks and holds and lifts up as an example, is this child somehow the best example of childhood you could ever find? No. No. Jesus chooses, just like us, a normal, ordinary, everyday little boy or little girl who, if it is true to form, is probably squirming, not at all happy to be the attention of all these adults staring at him or her, who is probably kind of like, oh, no, don't touch me. Because children are like that, who doesn't understand, just like the disciples don't understand what's happening right now. It's probably not at all saying, thank you, Jesus, for singling me out from all my friends who are not going to pick on me. Just a normal child. And what is Jesus trying to tell us with that choice? Well, I don't know about you, and I don't know about the language of this congregation, but I'm pretty sure that we lift up the fact that all people are children of God. Yes? That all people, it doesn't matter if you're 95. Who's the oldest person here?
Oh, look at me.
Whatever the oldest person's congregation, 105 years old, that person is a child of God. Okay? So, the child Jesus welcomes can be the oldest among you, not just the youngest. We're all children of God. It doesn't matter where you were born. Jesus doesn't care about that. Because you are precious in God's sight. You're all children of God. You're all beloved of God, which means it doesn't matter if you're extraordinary or simply getting by. It doesn't matter if you have the highest education in the room or you barely scraped through preschool. It doesn't matter in Jesus' eyes. Whoever welcomes you welcomes the one who sent Christ. Because we're all children of God. This is our biggest challenge. And while that seems simple, while that seems like it should be something that we could actually put together in a box and hammer together and say, here it is a big, challenging conversation. Because part of being welcoming, part of being someone who says, I like you, and while you are a stranger to me, you are unknown to me, I invite you in, that means you've got to go out and talk to people you don't know. That means you've got to be out, discovering where God is calling you as the Presbyterian Church in Burlington to be at work. And this is where we want to change the conversation. This is where we want to start talking about winter, because it is coming. And are we going to be able to plow the lot? Do we have the contract set up for the oil? And are we set with the roof so that if we get the ice dams again, we don't have the same problems? We want to change the conversation to tangible things. We want to talk about, well, we need to get the budget ready for 2016, which is important. But it's not the center. It's not the heart. This is where we want to start talking about, well, we tried this one thing one time, and it was really not very successful, and it was kind of disappointing for everybody, so we don't really want to try that again. It's not the heart. Jesus calls us back. Don't fight about who's the best. Don't bicker about the details. Don't consume yourselves with the things that aren't the heart of what I'm asking you to be and do, which is a people that welcome. And not just welcome because someone walked through the door, but welcome by being out and meeting people where they are. So today you begin a conversation about new beginnings. And that conversation is about where God is calling you to be. And it's going to be tempting to go off to the side, to go off onto the tangents, and to complain or bicker or argue or even discuss. Lovely, you know, with good patience and love for one another. Discuss things that are to the side of that central question. Where is God calling this particular body of Christ to be? How is God calling you to be the hands and feet of Christ in your community right now? If you're here for a reason, what is that reason? That's the heart. That's the center. And you can't put it in a box. You can't nail it down. You have to discover it through prayer, through conversation, through discerning with one another. And if you can focus on that centerpiece, if you can focus on where God is at work and God is calling you to be at work alongside Christ, you won't have to worry about who the best is. You won't have to worry about who the next leader is going to be. Because God takes care of those things for us. God actually is faithful in that way. So find that centerpiece. Discover, as the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, how God is asking you to welcome all of God's children in a new way, for today, for who you are now. Amen.
Amen.
Today's sermon was delivered by Cindy Coleman, Resource Presbyter of Boston Presbytery. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James McNinch. If you can't visit us in person, then visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2015 and provided under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.